Now we look at the gospel, and now we hear the teaching of the Son of God himself, bringing all this other teaching, the Word of God, up to a perfection. Already, we have the notion from Leviticus about love. That love is going to be expressed in this text by perfect. How to be perfect as your Father is perfect. What makes the Father perfect? Love. Love. He's the principium deitatis. He's the very source of the deity. Even though they're totally equal and totally equally eternal, the Father. And so that's why I think our Lord uses the word perfect and not holy. Because now you know what the perfection is. It's love. Okay. So, we're in that part now of these antitheses. As you notice, every week we're going through the Sermon on the Mount, which is wonderful, and a way to teach, and to teach morality, Christian morality. Okay. Jesus said to his disciples, okay, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. Woo. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on the one who wants to borrow. Now this is new. But it's building. It says, for instance, it's taking that part of the sermon we've already looked at. Unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So as hard as they tried, we got to do better. And we do better with the Holy Spirit. So who does better? Well, the saints for sure, right? But not only the saints. All of us. This is addressed to all of us. And he's going to describe now what he means by having our righteousness greater than that of the scribes and Pharisees. And for that, we need that to enter the kingdom of heaven, which is that environment where Jesus Christ is the center and the life. That's why pretty soon in the Gospels talk about the kingdom. The letters talk about Jesus. Because, as Origen already noticed, Jesus is himself the kingdom. He's the place where God reigns. All right. So, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now, what this is the law of equivalent retribution. It's not vengeance. It's restricting vengeance. This is the way Leviticus 24 puts it. Anyone who inflicts an injury on his neighbor shall receive the same in return. Limb for limb, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. The same injury that a man gives another shall be inflicted on him in return. And so, it's limiting vengeance. If you knock one of your eyes out, you can knock one of his out, but not two. If you knock one of your teeth out, you can knock one of his out, but only one. Whereas, vengeance knows no limit. So already, in the Old Covenant, vengeance was limited. And now Jesus says, forget vengeance altogether. Forget it altogether. Yes, if a guy murders and you put him in jail, that's fine. But it's not up to me. Especially when it's personal. Now this is hard. But it's the blocking and tackling of the Christian life. If we don't strive for this, we are nowhere. I don't care What else we do, we're nowhere. And that's what's being said here. See? That text I just read you, well, I told you that. It's chapter 24 of Leviticus. Huh? And I'll read the other one. Deuteronomy 19:15. If an unjust witness takes the stand against a man to accuse him of a defection from the law, the two parties in the dispute shall appear before the Lord in the presence of the priest or judges. Now this is a different kind of lawsuit. This is a reeve. See, a complaint. So this one says, this man stole my cow. This one says, I never touched your lousy cow. And there's somebody sitting there weighing this. Which one is telling the truth? And finally he says, Tzedek alecha, justice is on your side. So give him back his cow. Or whatever. So that's what's going on there, you see. Both parties shall appear before the Lord in the presence of the priest. And after a thorough investigation, the judges find that the witness is a false witness and has accused his kinsman falsely. You shall do to him as he planned to do to his kinsman. The same law of equivalent retribution. Okay. Now, the second one. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's part of that famous Leviticus 19 that we were already looking at. Love your neighbor as yourself and all the rest. This is another part of that same Leviticus 19. You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I say to you, love your enemies. Now, an enemy is not somebody I don't like. It's somebody trying to do me harm, willing to do me harm. That's an enemy. Yeah, there is an emotional problem I can get over. But an enemy is somebody trying to do me evil. And he says, this is Jesus, our Lord. This isn't optional. You see? Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Now, Jesus is standing in Palestine in the first century. It is dominated by Roman power. There are Roman soldiers everywhere. The taxes are collected by Romans for the Roman government. You see? And he's saying, you know, these enemies, love them. Love these people. That you may be children of your heavenly Father. See, pray for those who persecute you. I should have read that too. Persecute you. Well, the Romans can do that. They can throw you into jail for anything if they want. And keeping the occupied land frightened is the key to ruling it. I mean, look at the Germans or the Russians in Poland. And so, pray for those who persecute you, that you may be the children of your heavenly Father, who makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. He doesn't distinguish. He knows, and when judgment comes, he will judge. But now, he treats them all, cares for them all. How many people have been won back to God because God did not take vengeance on them when they were sinning badly, oppressing the poor, or whatever they were doing? Now, if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? And this is so, I don't want to say funny, you know, do not the tax collectors do the same? The tax collectors were the epitome of the people the Jews hated. And they were Jews most of the time. I buy the contract to collect the taxes in Capernaum. So the Romans tell me, from this rich city, we want $1 million. So he sets the tax at 1.5 million. and scrapes off that extra half. That's what a tax collector lived. Well, some of them were very wealthy, like Zacchaeus down in Jericho. Very wealthy man, it said. But can you imagine how they were hated? Not only were they working for the occupation forces, but they were forcing their own people to pay more than they should. But just then, think of the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee's up in the front. You know the story. The tax collector's in the back, and he beats his breast. Says, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He should say that. But he knows he doesn't have a dime. He doesn't have a leg to stand on. And he goes to God, and he says, "Be merciful to me. I'm a sinner." And when you read that, you can experience the enthusiasm in our Lord's heart. That's the one who went home justified, not the other one. This crook who's turning his life around, he went home justified. And then you have this story about the same when our Lord's in Jericho. Zacchaeus was a tax collector and a very wealthy man. That's why he said, "If I have defrauded anybody, I'll pay back fourfold." Well, he surely did defraud some people, I'm sure. But he's on his way. Salvation has come to this house, it says. He and his whole household are going to achieve salvation. Mercy. Here, our Lord uses them as an example of oppression. I'm a tax collector. You're a tax collector. "Hi, Joe. We're so hard up for friends. You know, we salute every tax collector we can find because everybody else hates us." You see? So when they heard the good news from Jesus and they came, that's why he said, "You hanging around with tax collectors and prostitutes?" And yes, because he loves them. Okay. "And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same?" Then it says, "Be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." That is the upgrading of what the Lord said himself in Leviticus. "Be holy as I am holy." And now the bar has been raised. Now, you have to love indiscriminately. How many martyrs have loved their persecutors and murderers and changed their hearts? That's what's being talked about. So at least we can start by loving and forgiving people who, I don't know, took my pencil or something. I'll never forgive him because he did this. The Lord is saying, You better forgive if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven. So that's this part of the Sermon on the Mount.